My name is Scrooge. Ebenezer Scrooge. And this year, I've been asked to help in your reverse Christmas. Feeding the hungry, Christmas carols being sung by all, hot chocolate and Christmas cookies everywhere, children running and smiling as they hold their new presents and toys. The joy of Christmas in everyone's heart. I have one thing to say about Christmas. Bah! Humbug! As for me, I wish to be left alone. That is what I wish for. I work too hard for any of this. I don't make myself merry during Christmas, so why should I try and make idle people merry? I work. I support the establishment through my taxation. And God knows, those people cost more than they're worth. There's a ghost, a spirit, the ghost of Christmas past. He keeps bugging me, trying to remind me what the spirit of Christmas is all about. I'll tell each and every one of you what Christmas is all about. Christmas is a day where you can find yourself 1 year older, but not one penny richer. The ghost of Christmas past. He wants to remind me of what it was like when I was a young child. Ha! Ha! He doesn't know what it was like when I was a young child. When I was a child, we couldn't afford a Christmas tree. My father used to make me stand there like this while the family decorated me in lights and holly. But guess what? Guess what? I liked it. When I was young, we didn't have all these fancy toys, the Xboxes, the Nintendos. We had sticks and rocks. And my friends and I sat there and threw rocks at each other and sticks at each other. And I prayed to the good Lord, please, Lord, don't let them hurt me. And sometimes they did. But guess what? I liked it. Now, Christmas Day is going to come. And all of you are going to hop in your nice warm cars and you're going to head out to your parents' house or your children's house or your grandma's house with your DVD players in your cars, your TVs playing, the warm heated seats to keep your tushies warm. Well, guess what? When I was a young man, I had to go to my grandma's house for Christmas. And I didn't have a car. I walked 30 miles. Uphill, both ways, with holes in my shoes. And every year as I walked to Grandma's, my family was attacked by a pack of grizzlies. But it was okay, because if we didn't wrestle those grizzlies down and kill them, and then drag them to my grandmother's house, we didn't meet. And then you know what I did when I got to my grandmother's house? I stood there like this. And let them decorate me with lights and holly. Because my grandma couldn't afford a Christmas tree either. But guess what? I liked it. Black Friday. What is this Black Friday? You want to know what Black Friday was when I was a young man? Black Friday was the day they came and turned our lights off because we couldn't afford the electricity. But guess what? I liked it. Christmas. There's nothing merry about Christmas. There's one thing I've learned as I've grown old. As I've grown old, I've learned you have to grow up. You have to put away all that childish nonsense about Christmas, and you have to get a job. So if the ghost of Christmas past was standing right here next to me now, I would tell him the same thing I just told you. Christmas is nothing more than a day to find yourself a day older and not a penny richer. Christmas. Bah, humbug!
You know, he did that a little too well. Well, we want to welcome all of you here to Grace this morning. Today we start our series, What the Dickens? And today is the Ghost of Christmas Past. And we're going to take a look at what that means for us today. If you have your Bibles, let me invite you to hold them up And we're going to do our pledge together. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess, my mind is alert, my heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, ever-living, indestructible Word of God. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you'll turn in your Bibles over to the book of all Christmas stories, Revelation chapter 2. I have to say, it's probably not a text that most people are going to look up on Christmas. But when I thought about Ebenezer Scrooge and the ghost of Christmas past, I think this will make sense to you. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. To the angel, or spirit of the church of Ephesus, write, "These are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you have been tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and endured hardship for my name and have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. But you have this in your favor. You hate the practice of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God." May the Lord bless His Word this morning as we dive in. Heavenly Father, as we think about Your goodness during this Advent season, we just want to express our gratitude. Lord, in this place, with one heart, in unison, we say thank You. God, we are so grateful for Your goodness to us. You could have left us in our rebellion. You could have left us like sheep that had gone astray. And You could have left us in the wilderness. Because certainly, God, we are the ones who chose to walk there. We chose to walk away from our God who loves us. And God, You brought us back. You sent the great shepherd, Jesus Christ, into this world, into this wilderness. What an incredible story. The greatest story that we know. And we want to say thank You, Heavenly Father. Thank You for rescuing us. Thank You for taking us out of death's grips, from the wolf, from the sin that held us. God, today we want to say thank You. Father, pour out Your Spirit in this place. Let Your Spirit reign. We've come to worship You this morning. When we rose this morning, we knew that we'd gather together with other people of like hearts and minds who believe that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, is at the right hand of God the Father. We've gathered together to say, we say by faith, we believe, we love You, and we thank You for salvation. God, in this community, there are families this morning. Not only do they not have that hope in Christ, Father, they don't seem to have hope anywhere. Life seems to have thrown them curves. Physically, there are people who are struggling and asking questions, why? If there's such a great God, where is He? Father, let Your hands be our hands. Use us to show the love of Christ. Lord, for reverse Christmas, we don't want to just give food away. We want folks to know, whether it's hot chocolate, a horse and carriage ride, a hug, Christmas trees, a manger. We want them to know, God, it's not just the food. It's in the name of Jesus Christ that You've commanded us to love one another. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down His life. So we thank You, Lord, for the workers, for what's going to happen this weekend. May we love our community in the name of Jesus. We pray for the men and women in our military. This season, it's a reminder again of those words of the angels. A Savior has been born. And He's coming to bring peace on earth. and goodwill. Lord, we need your peace on earth. For the families this season, they're going to be separated from loved ones. Would you comfort them? Would you give strength to the men and women who serve in our armed forces? Let them know our gratitude. Let them know the power of your Holy Spirit. Let them know the love of Christ. Wherever they're serving this season, may they not miss the Advent. We love you, Father, and we continue to pray for our freedom and a peace on earth. We pray that you bring them home safely. We pray for this community, every church that gathers, even now. Lord, would you bless every church and pastor that preaches your word? Let them know the goodness of this season. Speak through them right now. Anoint their words to speak your truth. We thank you. In this place, we've gathered to hear from you. And so, God, we say it. Speak, we are listening. Let your words be true, and may they come with power this morning. Let our hearts and our ears be open to hear. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. We're going to invite our ushers to come and join us this morning for our worship through giving. Let's go ahead and pray for the giving this morning. Heavenly Father, for every gift and for every person that gives, may they know the joy it is. When you spoke the words, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Father, you've been good to us. We pray that these gifts would be used once again to continue to spread the good news of your love and goodness to us. Bless it, multiply it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, it was good being away for a week, and it's good to be home. I understand that if you were here last week, there was my crazy uncle from out of town, as he describes himself, Pastor Steve. We spoke on Tuesday, and he sends his blessings to you. I said, how did it go? He says, I think it went well. I'm a little nervous when I put him up here. You never know what he's going to say, but I worked with him for 9 years, and I trust him. He's a great guy, and he just said, you know, when you walk into the church, you can really feel something going on. And I said, isn't that something? When you walk in, you sense God's goodness. He says, you got a good thing going there, Pastor. I said, well, when you're ready to retire, you come on up. We'll put you on as assistant pastor. And I worked for him for 9 years. He can come work for me for nine. And or together. He's a wonderful brother in Christ. I know he brought the Word of God last week. I heard just great, great reports. My wife and I, we got away for just a short time, and it's always nice to be able to get away. And as a pastor, you don't get to do that too often on the weekends, but it was really good to be able to do that. Today, I want to talk to you about Christmas. We start our series called What the Dickens, and today I want to talk about Christmas past. Christmas has changed a lot since we were kids, since I was a kid. I mean, it's really different these days. In fact, my wife and I, we tried to do that Black Friday thing. Any of you guys do that? We tried. I did it last year with my son, and we went out about 10 o'clock. And then we came home for a short time, then we went back about 2 a.m., and we managed. But my wife and I tried this year. We went over, thought, you know, we're going to go over to Wally World. So we went to Walmart. We drove in, went out there at midnight, warmed up the car, drove into what I thought was the parking lot. I have never seen such a thing in my life. There was no parking lot left. In fact, they were parked everywhere that you couldn't be parked. And I said, well, maybe we can go over to Meyer's parking lot. They're not open. And about half of that parking lot was filled. And I said, she said, well, just take me by the front door. Maybe we can just, I'll just run in. I thought, okay. And I'll go find a parking spot. We drove by the front doors, and there were people. It was crazy. It was so packed. There were people in the lines. You could see them at the registers. It's only midnight, and they were at the registers, and the lines were all the way to the back walls. And there were people still going into the building. And I looked at her. I said, do you really want to do this? She looked at me. She said, no. We drove home and went to bed. And I thought, that was the best Black Friday I've had. And then at 4 a.m., I'd set the alarm just in case we wanted to brave it. And she got up and decided to go shopping. I said, good luck. see you. And she went out about 4 hours later. I was a little nervous, so I called her cell phone. I said, where are you? She says, I'm downstairs doing dishes. I'm done. Christmas has really, really changed quite a bit over the years. When I grew up, it just seemed like, I don't know, it just didn't seem that crazy. Did it to you? I mean, I know I was born forever ago, but it just didn't seem this crazy. In fact, it's gotten so crazy that life is just different these days on Black Friday. In fact, there was a story. I mean, it's gotten so crazy that even in Japan, there was a reporter out on the streets. You know, their commercial Christmas is just as bad as ours. They celebrate Christmas in Japan. And a reporter was out on the street, and she found a shopper, and she asked her this question. Except she says, she asked the question, what is Christmas to you? What does Christmas mean? And she said, what? She goes, do you know the meaning of Christmas? And the lady, the shopper, looked at the reporter, and she said, isn't it that time when Jesus died? And she was serious. She had no idea, but I thought, wow, maybe she didn't miss it. Has it become that? That Jesus has really died in his own Christmas? In fact, there's billboards right now. In fact, let me bring a billboard up. I found this. This is actually, there are thousands of these all over the country, these billboards. Well, that's a nice scene. Jesus in the manger with Mary and Joseph and the star and the kings. You know it's a myth. This season, celebrate reason. American Atheists, reasonable since 1963. And I thought, what? Reasonable since 63? Wait a minute, what happened in 63? Well, I was born in 63. What is going on? And they're paying money to show this to people because Christmas is a myth, they say. Boy, when I was born, I don't know, when I was a kid, you wouldn't see a sign like this up on a billboard. Never. You wouldn't talk about something. Things have really changed, haven't they? In fact, I mean, anymore, you almost can't even talk about Christmas, right? You know what's amazing about that? Things have really changed. When I was a kid and my dad or my grandparents were kids, you know what's amazing? Christmas is really changing. And it's not necessarily all for the good, at least in our society. After his White House years, John Quincy Adams, one of our first early presidents, he described the central position of Christmas in America's spiritual and political life. John Adams said this. On July 4th, he asked the question. July 4th, he's given a speech. He says, why is it that next to the birthday of the Savior of the world, your most joyous and venerated festival occurs on this day, July the 4th? Is it not that in the chain of human events, The birthday of this nation is indissolubly linked with the birthday of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Wow. For the days of John Quincy Adams. Later, during World War II, Franklin Delano Roosevelt said this, quote, laid in the cornerstone, Franklin Roosevelt declared, quote, here at home, we will celebrate this Christmas Day in our traditional American way because it's deep spiritual meaning to us, because the teachings of Christ are fundamental in our lives, and because we want our youngest generation to grow up knowing the significance of this tradition and the story of the coming of the immortal Prince of Peace, unquote. Wow. Imagine a president or a politician saying that today. Things have really changed. Let me say that again. Because we want our youngest generation to grow up to know the significance of the tradition and the story of the coming of the immortal Prince of Peace. Christmas has really changed. You almost can't even talk about Christmas anymore in public places. Do you know that no court has ever ruled that the Constitution requires the government to censor Christmas carols, eliminate references to Christmas, or silence those who celebrate it? No court has ever ruled that the Constitution says that. Do you know that no law bars anyone, including students and teachers, from wishing others a Merry Christmas or even distributing Christmas carols with scriptures on them? Do you know that? And yet it happens every day. In fact, you're not allowed to sing certain songs, and many school districts have banned, and I have the article here, have banned Jingle Bells and Frosty the Snowman from being sung at Christmas time because, quote, they might bring something like Silent Night unconstitutionally to someone's mind. Man, it's Christmas. Bah, humbug. Wow. Do we need a visit from the spirit of Christmas past? Amen? Do we need to talk about Ebenezer Scrooge today? Because bah, humbug has become the reality in our society. It's just a myth. Don't sing Jingle Bells, let alone Silent Night. And bands aren't even allowed in certain schools to play instrumental music because someone might think of the actual words and that might be offensive. We have come a long ways, haven't we? Merry Christmas, by the way. It's okay to say Merry Christmas. And so I found this scripture. And I thought about all the things of Christmas past. I thought about all my Christmases growing up and how, honestly, and you know, if you know me, Christmas is my favorite time of the year. I absolutely love it. There is by far no better day for me than Christmas on the calendar. I will sing Christmas songs in July. I will play Christmas music for the next 3 months until my family is sick of Christmas music. I love Christmas. I love singing Joy to the World. I love singing Silent Night. I love singing Away in the Manger. I love the great Christmas songs because I love Christmas. And I thought about this, the ghost of Christmas past. Did you know Ebenezer Scrooge was in the Bible? Because in Revelation, and of all the places, I said, God, I'm going to preach out a revelation for Christmas. Are you kidding me? The doom and gloom of the end of the world. And it's right here in Revelation chapter 2. Listen to this. Ebenezer Scrooge is visited by the ghost of Christmas past at the stroke of one. Why? Because the ghost of Christmas past is an interesting character in Charles Dickens' story. It's one of five Christmas books he had written. It's the only one that you know about because the other four didn't survive. And the reason you know it because it's become a very popular story. Did you know that the ghost of Christmas past came to him in the original story as a child and took him to his childlike times? Why did he do that? Because Charles Dickens wrote that Scrooge had become so hardened in his heart that he had to take him to a place where he was softer, days that he remembered that were better. When he worked for Fezziwig in the factory and they threw a Christmas party. When he dated a young lady and he was in love. And he'd forgotten that. He'd become old and bitter. Bah, humbug, Christmas. A fine day to rob a man's pocket. Look at what the scripture says in Revelation. This is the story of Ebenezer Scrooge and the ghost of Christmas past. It says, to the angel, and if you'll allow me, to the spirit of the church of Ephesus, write. These are the words of him who holds the seven stars. He's describing the story. And a spirit comes to visit the church, say, I want to tell you something. And so in this book, written by the Apostle John in 90 AD on the island of Patmos, where he was a prisoner, and most Christians had been killed, murdered, executed, burned at the stake, lit on fire after being dipped in torches of oil by Nero, fed to the lions, sawed in half, persecuted. He writes these words. Hey, to the Spirit says this to the church. And so isn't that the ghost of Christmas past? And you know what he says? I love this. In verse 2, he says, I know your deeds, your hard work. Well, that sounds like Ebenezer Scrooge. I know you're a hard worker, Scrooge. But you've forgotten something about Christmas. You've forgotten your first love. You have forgotten how to love. And so the Spirit comes back this morning and is going to remind us of three things. The first one is this. The wonder. We need to remember how to wonder. When's the last time you went out somewhere and you said, you know what, I'm just going to wonder. Someone says, what are you doing? I'm wondering. What are you wondering? Well, the word wonder, think about that word. Do you wonder? I wonder all the time. My teachers used to call me a daydreamer, now my wife does. I dream all the time. I do wonder. And what I mean by that is we need to get our wow back. When I was a kid, Christmas was the best thing that ever happened. Nowadays, it's like, I don't even want to go outside to the mall. We went to the mall yesterday, and my wife said, whoa, look at all these people. And people were bumping and scratching. I mean, last year when I was there in Walmart, I watched two ladies fight over a doll. And I mean, they were going to go out. It was Rocky Balboa. I mean, it was ding, ding. I mean, the one, and they're going at it. And I thought the one, I mean, they're swearing and cussing and screaming. And I thought, they're about to duke it out right here in Walmart. And an employee got in the middle. I thought, no, let them go. Don't stand in the middle of that. You're next. Over a doll. Really? Wait a couple of weeks. It'll be on sale. Or someone, some kid, wait a month. Some kid's going to put it on a shelf and never play with it again. It's a doll. You're humans. What happened to the wow? The wow, the mystery, the wonder of Christmas. We need to get our wow back. I mean, folks, how many times in the church we've lost our wow? When's the last time people were just, I got to get a seat. Get out of here. I'm getting the last seat in church. You're not getting the last seat in church. And they're lined up outside and you pull in the parking lot and you go, are we going to church today? I don't know. Look at all the people. It's packed in there. Where's the wow? Packed for what? Not packed for the brand new Kinect for the Xbox 360. Not packed for the next plasma TV that's $200 off. But packed because Jesus Christ has been born in the world. When's the last time you went, wow, yeah, he was. Oh, I've heard that. Oh, I heard that. I heard that story when I was a kid. Okay, Ebenezer. Oh, I remember reading the story of Luke. Luke's where we should go. Luke's what we should read. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And there were shepherds. You know what? We ought to be like little children. We ought to be like Charlie Brown, little lioness, walks up on the stage saying, Charlie, you've forgotten the meaning of Christmas, Charlie Brown. Remember that in the Charlie Brown Christmas story? And he gets up there, and there were shepherds in the field watching their sheep at night. And lo, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and they were sore afraid. Wow. I'm sorry, did you miss that? And an angel of the Lord appeared to him. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm out in a field or down by the Blue Water Bridge or at the mall or walking down the street for a walk, taking my dog out for a walk, and I'm walking, and an angel of the Lord appears to me, I'm getting my wow back. Wow. And he's going to have to say the words, don't pass out. Because that's it, fear not. Because if you're walking down the street and an angel appears to you, you're going to go, wow. We've read that story so many times that we become like Ebenezer. And the Spirit takes us and says, get back to better days. When you first heard the story, do you remember when you first got saved? Do you remember when Christ first came into your heart? Do you remember when that first happened and you went, wow, God loves me. God loves me. Wow. And an angel appeared. And the glory of the Lord shone about them. And the angel said, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all people. For unto you a child, a Savior, is born. What did you just say? A Savior is born. Say that one more time. Wow. I'm getting saved. I'm getting saved today. Three guys on these little islands out in the Pacific. Three little boys took their uncle's boat. They were afraid to say anything. They took the boat. They were going to another island. There's only 250 people. You probably saw it on the news. And as they were going on their boat, they were going to row to the other little island. It's just a few islands. There's only 1,100 people in the entire country. As they were making their way, the tide took them out. 35 days later, they'd already had funeral services and everything for them. Some shippers, some fishermen, that had come down near the South Pole, found them out in an area where there are nobody. Found them out there 35 days. Can I tell you, when they saw that ship, they went, wow, we're saved. Can I tell you, when the shepherds saw the angel and the angel said, a Savior's born, they went, wow. Are you kidding me? The Savior of the world. We've been waiting for this as a people for 2,500 years since Abraham. And we're shepherds and you came to tell us? Wow! Folks, you're sitting in your seat. You need to get your wow back. You need to get your wow on. You need to get the wonder in your life. Let's not become like that. Let's get our first love. He says, you've forgotten, Ebenezer, your first love. And the Spirit takes him back to remind him of better days. Can I take you back to better days? We need to be reminded by the wow. I've been in Port Huron for 12 years. I still am wowed when I go down to the river and look at that blue water. And I go, wow. When ships come in underneath that bridge, and I look at it waiting and saying, is this one going to make it under it? I've been doing that for 12 years. And I still, like a child, go, wow, that's a big boat. And like a kid, I just stare at the boat going, wow, that's a big one. Have you forgotten? What a beautiful community we live in. What a wonderful place and the beaches and the people. And you, folks, wow. Have we forgotten? Been married for 25 years. And Ebenezer Scrooge wore my wife's gown today. Wow! Now I'm going to get in trouble. Wow! Hey, folks, when I fell in love, I was like, yeah, wow! I mean, I remember what she was wearing the day I met her. I remember the moment I proposed to her. I remember being late for our wedding. Wow! You know, after 25 years of marriage, I didn't expect her to be wearing grandma's flannels. Wow! Kind of had something different in mind. You know, that just kind of wasn't my picture of marriage. But comfort kind of takes over. There's still the wow. Have we become so comfortable with Jesus Christ being born on this earth, that when it comes to Christmas, we go, it's Christmas. And we could get caught up in the bah humbug. And let Christ, let the Spirit of Christmas take us back to better days to go, wow. I want to get your wow back, folks. Two months ago, the news reported there's a thing called the Super Hydro Collider. Have you heard about it? The Super Collider, it's in France. It's underground, a long ways under the earth. It's 17 miles around. That's how long this thing is. It's a big tube. It's a big cylinder tube. It's awesome. And you know what it is? They're trying to recreate the Big Bang. And they just did it. They just took the smallest particles known to man. They took protons and they took lead ions. And what they did is they took these things and they shot them through the 17-mile cylinder at each other at the speed of light. And when they hit, the explosion, and they just did it, and it was successful. And they're going to build another one. The explosion was so great, it created an explosion 100 times greater than a nuclear blast. No, wow. That's the word there, right? It created 7 trillion volts of electricity. Wow. 7 trillion volts of electricity. What? Wow. Really? This is amazing. They took the smallest particles. They shot them at each other at the speed of light. Wow. It hit and blew up and made 100 times the amount of a nuclear explosion, 7 trillion volts of electricity. They can light up the world for a few days from that one blast. You know what it did? It did something amazing. Besides all that, those particles actually transformed and became plasma. And that's unheard of. And it melted the particles together. Somewhere between B.C. and A.D., the superconductor grabbed the element Jesus Christ and a man known as a baby in a manger and brought them together at the speed of light and created and melted together the hearts of mankind to God. Wow. You got to get your wow back. Do you understand what happened when Christ was born? 100% God and 100% man in the mystery of what's called the hypostatic union came together at the speed of light, and a child was born in a barn among shepherds and cows. And the shepherds went, "A Savior has come. Wow. I'm saved. Wow. I want Christmas back." And the spirit of Christmas today is taking us back to remind us, wow, what happened on this day is amazing. Get your wow back. Get your wow back. You'll never read Luke chapter 2 ever the same way. You'll look at that and say, "For unto us a child has been born." And you're going to think about speed of light, superconductor. And can I tell you, more power entered onto this planet than 100 times a nuclear explosion. 7 trillion volts didn't enter the world. The one who makes those volts entered the world. He dwells with you, he lives with you, and he has joy unspeakable and full of glory. Welcome to Christmas. No wonder why Roosevelt and Adams said, "Our kids need to be taught this. We need to be reminded." And so, Ebenezer, the spirit of Christmas past reminds us, get your wow on. The second thing he reminds us is this. You know what these shepherds did? They went, "Let's go check it out." Now listen, if an angel says something to you, I'm going to just say, you ought to say, "Okay. Let's go see what this thing is that we've heard about." They got there, they found Mary and Joseph, and the Bible says in verse 17 of Luke chapter 2, it says, "And when they had seen him, they spread the word." Get your wow back, and then you ought to witness. Get the word out. Get the word out. Now, some of you are thinking, what does that mean? We ought to go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Great song. But that's not what he's talking about here. Get the word out. You know what the word is? The word of God is a living thing. We ought to get the word out. You see, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Word is a living. This right here is living. Don't tear it up and don't burn it. It's alive. Don't misspeak it. Don't misuse it. This is alive. Why? You say it's not alive, it's inanimate, it's nothing. Well, no, the Bible says it's living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword. It's living. Do you know when you speak the Word of God and come into agreement with the Word of God, things happen. Angels move, demons run, sicknesses are healed, life's changed, blessings arrive, hearts become different, marriages are fixed, children repent. This is a living thing, folks. They say that the Constitution is a living document. I don't know so much about that, but I do know that this is a living word. It is alive. And I'm going to come into agreement, and when I speak God's word, and I agree with it, and I speak God's word, that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Greater is he that is in me, that for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. So when I'm in a situation, here it is. My situation changes when I speak the word. And these shepherds went and they spread the word, and life changed as they knew it. Anytime you speak the word of God, life will change. We need to stop speaking so much our words. "Oh, things are terrible. Oh, this is that." How do you know? Well, because that's the way it is. From today on, things will no longer be the way they are. A miracle has happened in the world, and I'm about to spread the word. I am so excited. I've been waiting to get to this all morning. this week something has happened. My wife wanted to change some faucets in my house. I couldn't wait to tell you. That's not what I was going to wait to tell you. She says, I'm going to get some new faucets. Goes to Lowe's, gets these new faucets. Guys, this ever happened to you? She said, we're just going to change them. Not so much. No, at Thanksgiving with her brother, my brother-in-law over, her brother, this little deal required a complete brain surgery, mechanical new engine overhaul. Now, in this small project, it required a 14 by 14 inch hole cut in the wall, soldering out all four copper pipes, replacing the unit, and re-sweating, fixing, and the things that I have no idea about, became, 5 days later, a huge Saturday project. Now, guys, that probably never happens to you. So, it's a wonderful story in this that I finally worked on it just long enough till I had it broken enough to call a professional. Can anybody relate to that? So I called up my friend who goes to this church, who's a wonderful plumber and everything. He says, yeah, that's about a $500 deal just there. He says, just make sure you get the water shut down, do this, this, and this. He says, I'll be over, I'll help you. Well, while we were there, here's the great part of the story. He says, have you heard the news? Did you hear the word? The news. You got to get the word out. And I said, what news? He says, about what they just found. I said, yes, I did. Can you believe that? He says, this is going to change everything. I said, I know. Have you heard? Really? You're going to. It's going to change everything. Hours before the news report conference today, the cat is out of the bag. NASA has discovered a completely new life form. This isn't the tabloids. This actually happened. We have discovered a brand new life form. It just happened this week. It has been an amazing week. Follow this, how this is going to change things. At the conference today, NASA scientist Felicia Simon will announce that they found a bacteria whose DNA is completely alien to what we know today. You see, every life form, everything on planet Earth, from plants and animals, from the smallest amoeba to the giant blue whale, is all the same. In fact, all the textbooks, this is great, all the textbooks that are taught about evolution says evolution's real because we all came from the original same amoeba and everything has the same life strand because we all have six basic elements in our body. You know that, right? We have in our body, we have sulfur, phosphorus, oxygen, nitrogen, hydrogen, and carbon. Six components. That makes up our DNA. Everything that lives has this. Not anymore. NASA just discovered our DNA blocks are the same, but not this one. They found in Mona Lake, California, a poisonous, actually a new element for the DNA strand of bacteria of processed, a brand new thing called arsenic. No, not arsenic like you know it. A DNA element of arsenic that is completely separate from any strand of anything we know. This implication of this discovery, the implications are enormous to our understanding of life itself and the possibility of finding beings on other planets that don't have to be like planet Earth. Interesting conversation develops in the comments of this story. Number one, this is huge. Number two, of course, whether it's developed on this planet independently or not, we have just discovered alien life. We've just found something that has nothing to do with you or anything on planet Earth. And it's alive. You know what that means? Every textbook is wrong about evolution. Because we don't all come from the same thing. We're not monkeys. We're not pigeons. We're not giraffes. We didn't come from a primordial soup, crawl out as a lizard, swing on a tree, and then buy cellular phones. That did not happen. What this says is there is something completely separate, which means they said, how did it get here? And right now the speculation by all the scientists is it's got to be aliens. Because something put a whole new life form here. Guess what? I know who it is. Because He created all life forms. And He has the ability to make anything He wants, anytime He wants. And when scientists says, we know a Big Bang happened, we don't know how. We know there were elements in the Big Bang, we don't know where they came from. We know there was gravity in the Big Bang, but we don't know where that came from. But somehow all these things existed, but we don't know where it all came from. And then in the right time, it all came together. We don't know how that happened. And it created a Big Bang, and then it made life. And then it made the single cell that created all of life. And now today, oops, we got something else. Life exists outside of you and me. And here's one of them. Scientists need to get their hands around this, and you and I need to get our hands around this. Ebenezer Scrooge needs to get his hands around it, because the spirit of Christmas past would say this: there is a living word that when you speak it, it changes everything. And it doesn't have anything to do with you, and it doesn't have anything to do with your government. It doesn't have to do anything with Republican or Democrat. It has nothing to do with Wall Street or welfare. It has nothing to do with black or white. It has nothing to do with your marriage, how good or bad it is, or how it can be fixed or can be fixed. Because it's the Word of God. It's completely separate. It's a living thing that God created, and when you speak it, will change everything. Wow. Have you got your wow back? Because when you get your wow back, you need to spread the word. There's a living word. His name is Jesus Christ. He was the Word in the beginning. He became the Word in the manger. And now He is the Word that you can speak and agree with and change everything. I'm excited about Christmas because it changes everything. See, Christmas changed my life and it should change yours. And the last thing is, these shepherds got so excited, they ran out, they did this, and you know what they did when they got done? They went, who's watching the sheep? You ever hear that in the story? Where's the rest of the story? These guys left, all the sheep. Who's minding the farm? And it says they went back, and here's the rest of the story. Let's close this up this morning. Here's the close of the whole thing. They said, we got to go back. And it says they went back praising and worshiping God. Changes everything. When you meet Jesus, it ought to change everything. You see, 28 years ago, I met Jesus Christ. I have been worshiping Him for 28 years. There's a difference. Now listen, I don't go to church. I worship. I don't have a religiosity that makes me do things. I love it. Okay? Follow me on this. My wife and I, last week, we don't get a chance to do this. Maybe a couple times every couple years. And we got to get away on a Sunday, and we went and visited a church, and it was wonderful. We didn't know. We just prayed, said, God, just lead us to it. Make sure it's life-giving. I just want to make sure. If I'm going somewhere, I don't want to sit in a church where I go, oh, my feet hurt. I don't want to go to church. I don't want to go to a place where people are dead. I want to go to a light. I'm sorry, because death is contagious. But so is life. I want to go to a life-giving place. So we prayed about it, and we showed up at this church, and we got there. We drove and drove and drove and drove with the whole family. And they go, why can't we go to Grace? And I love it when my kids say that. And I said, we don't go to Grace because even though I'm not preaching, inevitably some of you say, hey, Pastor, I need to talk to you. And I'm going to go, oh, so much for vacation. Not that I don't love you, but there's times when I don't want to talk to you, okay? And I hope you take that in the right spirit. Yes, okay, good. I'll see you afterwards. No, I don't want to talk to you. So we went into the church. And I told the kids, I said, because this is a chance for me to be anonymous, just a person. And nobody knows I'm a pastor. And so I get to go in and just kind of see how... We get to this church and we're 5 minutes late. And I'm thinking, great, I don't want to go in late. We don't know anything about this church. We walk in, there's about 2,000 people in this place. They've got these big worship screens. They got all these folks. And we go in, we get in, they're singing. I'm thinking, oh, we're late. We're running in. And I looked around, I said, hey, there's cars still pulling in like crazy. There's still people walking in. This is just like Grace. It's just like back home. We're still coming in. We sang a song. We sang another song. We sang another song. We sang another song. We sang another song. We kept singing. And my daughter said, "Dad, I don't see any kids anywhere. Can I go to the kids thing? There's no kids in here." I said, "I guess. Hey, Susan, if you'll take her and ask the usher." So she went and she was gone. I thought, oh, she's going to miss this wonderful music. But we'd been singing a while. I thought, oh, they got to be done. She was gone a while. She came back. We're still singing. We sang for 45 minutes. And I looked around. There's about 2,000 people. And I looked around and I said, "Wow, when are the people going to go?" Let's get the preacher up there. No. I thought, well, when are the older people going to go, "Oh, I got to sit down." And then I started thinking, I need to sit down. I'm looking around. People are just worshiping. And the worship leader's up there. Press through it. Let's ride on the wings of God. Let's just ride on His wings of blessings. Let's just enjoy it. Let's just worship. See, we didn't sing for 45 minutes. That's the difference. We worshiped. You see, when you sing, anybody can sing. You sing songs. Oh, let's sing another song. Let's sing another. When you're worshiping, there's no time. See, when you're worshiping, you're in the Spirit. And these shepherds were worshiping. You get caught in a car doing that. You're driving down the road, and you're not singing the song on the radio. I mean, I can do that. "Put your hands up, playing my song, butterflies fly away." You know, I can do that. No, that's just singing. Are you okay? You saw me doing that, didn't you? I was on Pine Grove driving with my knee doing that. That's not what happened. I'll get going and I'll start singing. Some great song will come on and I'll just get caught up in the words and the meaning. And I'll start not singing, I'll start worshiping. And when you start worshiping, you really lose your bookmark in this world. And all of a sudden, you're not on the same page as everybody else. And the next thing I know, I got my hands up. I'm at a stoplight. It's green. I'm singing. And I and people in the looking at me like, because the shepherds were so excited about Christ, they didn't care about the world. They didn't care about their job. See, when you're completely caught up, not only do you have your wow back, not only does the word get out, but you get your praise on. And I got to tell you something, folks. When there's a woman at a well, and every man that has loved her the wrong way, and Jesus shows up, she begins saying, "I don't care anymore." And she worships, and the whole town says, "Aren't you so-and-so?" She says, "Yeah, but I met so-and-so." And they said, "You are so different." And she's worshiping. You see, when a soldier shows up, and Jesus is walking down the street, and the soldier said, "My daughter's dying. Could you help me?" He could have looked at her and said, "You're a centurion. You're a Roman. You kill my people." He didn't look at that. He said, "You're a dad. And what's your daughter's name? I didn't even need you to come to my house. Could you just pray for my daughter? And she's healed." I tell you, that soldier got his praise on. When Zacchaeus, a wee little man, this little tax collector sitting up in a tree because he's so short, he can't even see Jesus. He's up there. And Jesus comes to his house and says, "Salvation's come to your home today." And Zacchaeus gets his praise on. He said, "If I've ever robbed anybody, I'll pay him back four times the amount." You see, when Jesus gets a hold of you, you get your praise on. See, worship isn't the same as singing. Going to church isn't the same as being a Christian. Ebenezer Scrooge was a hard worker. And he had worked hard and he was not lazy. And he paid his taxes. And he did his duty. And the Spirit came and said, "Brother," Revelation chapter 2, "you forgot your first love. Let's go home. And let's love." And the Spirit reminds us today that Mary and Martha, two wonderful, wonderful gals in the Bible, said, "Jesus, what are you doing for lunch after church?" You could do this today. You could invite someone home. They invited Jesus home. And you know what Mary did? Mary sat down in the living room with Jesus. You know what Martha did? Oh, gosh, this house is a mess. Kids, I wish you would have picked up your socks. And whose coat is this? And, oh, get the shoes out of the foyer. And, oh, great, Jesus' house. And she's cooking and she's cleaning and she's angry and she's in there and she's cooking and she's stirring up the food. And she's stirring up the food. And Mary's in there like, kumbaya, my Lord. Kumbaya. And she's in there just loving it. And the Bible says she's sitting at Jesus' feet. And you know what Martha's doing, her sister? Sister of mine, she's been here cooking with me. Gah! And so she gets so mad. Finally, she says, enough is enough. She goes in, and the Bible records this. She says, Jesus? And then they're working really hard. My sister has been sitting here. And Jesus looks at her, and she's waiting for this. You need to go help your sister in the kitchen. It's not what she got. You see, Ebenezer? Ebenezer, I know you're a hard worker. The word is hupomone. Hupomone. That's the Greek word in Revelation. Hupomone. That's a great word, moan. Hey, my sister's not. This world is. Get your praise on. And Jesus looks and says, Martha, Mary has done the better thing. Worshipping me is better than working for me. Worshipping is better than singing. Loving is greater than duty. And to obey is better than sacrifice. God loves you. I pray at the stroke of one, the spirit of Christmas past fills your hearts. And you will learn to get your wow back this Christmas. Let's stand and pray. Heavenly Father, let this be our benediction. Let this be our benediction to us today. May the great Creator Conductor, with all that you are, God, bring into our world the power of Christ. Let the superconductor intercede at the speed of light. Father, come into our hearts this Christmas season and change and melt us with you. Bring us together in the union of Christ, known as Christmas, which is the Mass of Christ. That's what it is, the Mass. Communion. Anyone who opens his door of his heart and invites me in, I will come into him and he into me, and we will sup together. Lord, I pray this Christmas, I pray on this day, you would change our hearts. You would make us more like you. I so love Christmas. May we all be like children in the wonder of it all. There's a request this Christmas. Take some time out to kind of send that love out. There are soldiers certainly out on our board from our own church, and there are missionaries that are part of our family, extended family. Would you send your love to them? You can send a card or a package, and we'll help you get it to them. Love them up, those that are overseas. They're serving to bring that message of peace on earth. Our soldiers, they're fighting for peace. They really are. Sounds strange. And there are missionaries who are trying to bring the message of Christ. So contact the office this week. It's right out on the bulletin board. Their addresses are right on the board out there. So please do that. My question for you is this morning as you go. Will it change you to know that we've discovered life? Or will you just simply say, I already found life, life in Christ. See, Ebenezer, next week we'll find out. We'll do the Ghost of Christmas Present next Sunday. Do you know after that visit, it didn't change him. His reaction was this. He woke up, he was back in his room because he reached up to that child who, by the way, he couldn't look at. He said, stop the light, it's so bright. The child had like a hat thing that his face was so light that Ebenezer couldn't look. So at the end of that first ghost, he reaches over and he snuffs out the light. And he says, "It was all just a dream. I must have had some bad meat last night." And he plays it off and he doesn't change. But another spirit's coming. And can I say to you, please don't leave snuffing out the light of Christ in your life. Receive it and go light your world, change your world, okay? God bless you. You're dismissed.